KTF Memphis with Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
4.9 liter V8, 0 to 60, and I'm about to find out.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. My goodness, I almost choked to death just now. That was painful. Jared saw it. Ham's over there, blind and deaf today.
I'm over here doing
Helen Keller, work. Man, hanging out with us.
Over here doing other shows work, man.
Didn't she do it when she was
blind and deaf.
And deaf. Okay, I just want to make sure I got it right. Remember last time I tried to use her, I used somebody, the wrong person. That's what it was. I was like, you're like, bro, wrong.
Trying to figure out.
Yeah, you're like, wrong.
It's been speculation that whole time they've been lying to us about Helen Keller.
No.
John been saying it for years.
I have to.
Then Stevie Wonder been lying for.
I say it all the time. Man, you notice a good looking woman always walks by and Stevie always happens to look right
there.
And
he always able to pull her.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Charles was able to do that too, but, you know.
Yeah, but that was different, man. I mean, I don't know if you noticed.
Ray Charles is a Southern pimp.
Yeah.
I saw a joke that said Stevie Wonder was blind making songs about how beautiful these women are.
Well, isn't she lovely is about his daughter.
Right. Isn't she lovely? We got all kinds of lovely things to talk about because I got the lovely and wonderful Evie Van Pelt.
Isn't she lovely?
Mm-hmm. She is lovely. She is sweet. And man, does she know her sports. She is the founder, the publisher of The Rebel Walk. It's the number one source for all things Ole Miss sports information. I do have to say right before I bring her on, though, I wanted to remind y'all, I'll be at Banger's Pickleball. It's it. It's just right there in South Haven, Mississippi. It's two shakes from a lamb's tail. You know what I mean? You can be there like bang, bang, boom. 6787 Snowden Lane. Put in your GPS, your Waze, whatever you're using. They have 7 outdoor courts. They got like 6 indoor courts. I'm going to be there from 11 to 1 broadcasting live. They put out a nice little message on their little message board. It says, join us Friday, May 15th from 11 to 1 for a live broadcast. Sports 56 very own John Harden. Woo woo, a.k.a. Johnny Radio. Doing his show. Then they're asking everybody, come out, man. We want a lot of live pickleball action going on inside while I'm broadcasting. So get your butt down there tomorrow. It's going to be a hell of a good time. And if you're not even into pickleball or don't know how to play and want to play, they got free Bangers 101 pickleball classes. They have 3 bars, a restaurant, and it's just straight up awesome. If you're ready to bang, let's do it tomorrow, 11 to 1 at Bangers Pickleball. Now, I'm going to try to figure out what in the heck do I talk about with Evie Van Pelt today. Not much is going on in the world. Evie, first and foremost, how are you doing, dear?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here. And Lane has given us pretty much content this week to talk about. And Sarkisian thought he'd jump in, and baseball's going on. So I'm with you. There's a lot of stuff.
And there's so much to talk about. And you want to talk about a man who's like really struggling with this. My daughter graduated last Friday.
Oh.
And do you know who was so kind to let her have their house?
Yes.
For her graduation party.
Yes. So like, you're in a pickle, but
yeah, me, my family, her Jenny and Joel, you know, Savannah's mom and stepfather's family, all kinds of kids, like it was a great time, and I appreciate it more than anything. And I thank you so much for every nice thing you've ever done, because Lane Kiffin has done a lot of nice stuff for my daughter and me personally. But damn, he makes some dumb comments, doesn't he, Evie?
Yeah, he really does. See, you can just blame this on your guest this time. You don't have to say anything. But yeah, I just, you know, I was really... I've talked with a number of people this week, and they've asked me my thoughts about it, and I just have reiterated that it was disappointing to me because I feel like it cast the university in a light that they've worked really hard to change, you know, the past. And are they perfect? No. No place is. No place in the SEC is, for sure.
And I hate to say the SEC. This is, we're talking about the Deep South, bro. Every single school. Exactly. Georgia, yes. Alabama, Kentucky even, and they're like in the middle, you know. Tennessee.
Right.
You name it. We're talking about the Deep South. So
the Deep South. Like, and, you know. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's like people said, you know, Lane probably didn't even realize that the, you know, the LSU mascot was not named for a tiger.
Nope,
it was named
sure
for, a particularly brutal Confederate
the
regiment.
Regiment.
So, I mean, I just think that there's a lot to unpack there. But at the end of the day, I'm disappointed that he went there. And what I can say personally is, I have interviewed Ole Miss players, mothers, fathers, grandparents. I've had done a number of features with grandparents. And I, not that they would, but not one in 14 years has ever made those comments to me. And I mean, they could have. I mean, I wasn't, you know, they didn't have to be pro, you know, Ole Miss if they didn't want to, but not one person has ever said that, so it, you know, made any kind of racial comments. So I feel like I feel bad for the people of Oxford and in Mississippi
too.
Because I just feel like, you know, they are working hard to change. You can't get rid of what happened in the past, but I think that they've put a lot of work in.
And again, Jay Ham, who's with me, he just left the room, but his sister graduated from Ole Miss Law, one of the better, you know, top 10 law schools in the country. And mm-hmm. she graduated a long time ago. It was different a long time ago.
Right.
And I can promise you, not only was it different a long time ago, when I was a young kid, when I went down there, it was still different. Today, this is like any college campus on planet Earth now. I mean, it is, it's just a, like, Oxford's one of the most welcoming communities I've been to, and I was somebody who hated Oxford. When my first daughter said she wanted to go to Ole Miss, I was like, no! No! And then, of course, I love my daughter. She isn't a, you know, I let her, of course, go. I was proud of her. And then, you know what I came to do? I came to love that place. Like, love it. It's a beautiful campus. Everybody's kind. The square's out of control. It's a small, tight-knit community. The stadium's not the biggest in the world, but it is always fun. You know, like, it's just, and again, I listened to, like, 15 fathers call into a bunch of different shows yesterday of people, like, you know, players that were recruited by Lane Kiffin to go to Ole Miss. Some players that still go to Ole Miss, some that have graduated from Ole Miss and moved on, some that have even transferred out, some that followed even – one of them followed him to LSU and was disappointed in the comments, saying that's never anything he said to us. It was always come to the SIP. It is a wonderful place. It is perfect. You know, so, like, you've heard, you heard some of those calls, I'm sure, yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely did. And, you know, like I say, you know, I've interviewed so many people, so many family members over the years, whether it's in recruiting or just when we've done features on them. And, I mean, I just literally never, that has never, ever come up. And I find it interesting that it came up in this Vanity Fair article where the author...
Vanity Fair, Blaine.
Yeah, yes, and the Vanity Unfair, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find it interesting that the author, when interviewed after that piece came out the next day, said, you know, I wish I could take credit for asking such a hot button topic, but I didn't even bring it up. You know, I was talking about the differences in recruiting at Ole Miss and at LSU. And he said, and he totally took it there and brought that up. So it wasn't even a, you know, wasn't even a question about race or segregation or, you know, such. So I think it kind of surprised even the author a little bit. And one other thing I'll say is, you know, we had a Vanity Fair piece out about Trinidad Chambliss, a couple of weeks ago. And that was an African-American author, writer, and an African-American player. And it didn't, race didn't come up one time. in that article, you know, in that. So I, you know, I just thought it was kind of interesting. I'm not sure what was going on, but I tell you, I kind of, a couple of folks I've talked to and shows I've been on, I said, you know, Lane to me is a pyromaniac with words. He lights the match and watches it burn and smiles while it's burning. So I just feel like that comment was just a little too far. And then Steve Sarkisian piling on. What in the world
was
he doing?
I don't know.
I mean,
that was weird. I'll tell you one thing, though. Tim Brando, I don't know if you heard him.
Oh, yeah.
Lit him on
fire. I heard Stephen A. Smith, too. Stephen A. wasn't very happy. I mean, I've heard I don't you think that probably the national level reaction has not probably been what Lane expected it to be?
100%, because they know it's not true. Because, like, by the way, the fact that when you say Vanity Fair is the article, I mean, it's kind of perfect that this came out. Who has more pride and admiration for one's abilities? Hell, his appearance as well.
Right.
His accomplishments. And again, the other thing is, though, just for me, he is a little conceited and self-absorbed, but I don't understand why it is that every single place that he leaves, he does burn it down. The way
he
left
burns
Tennessee,
it down.
We know about this terrible thing with the Raiders, left on the tarmac. He pissed people off so much.
He pissed off
Archie Manning. Like, how do you do that
when
he was in Oxford?
Well, see, that's the thing. Yeah, he did. You know, Archie really kept his distance from the program throughout Lane's tenure there. And then, you know, reappeared again when Lane left. But, you know, one thing that David brought up to me, he said, I'd like to know what. So Lane brought that up and said, you know, yada, yada, I had parents or kids saying their grandmothers don't want them to come to Oxford. David wanted to know, Lane, what was your response to that when they said that? And that would have been a really good follow-up question, I think. You know, what did you tell them? Did you tell them your son is perfectly safe here? You know, I mean, I don't know. So I'm a little curious about that. I would have wanted to follow up with that.
Man, I got to just tell you, a lot of things that I would kind of just wanted to follow up with it. Because, again, like, I know Lane in a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And he really is nice. Is he funny? Yes. Is he a little quirky? Yes. Does he like – he likes battling wits. You know what I mean? He's just Lane. He's a different dude. Got massive amounts of money. You know, he definitely believes in his abilities. I just like to accomplish it. I mean, he should have left Ole Miss and be regarded as one of the greatest coaches that came through Oxford.
Well, I think it's like Keith Carter. Somebody said Keith Carter indicated back, you know, when he left, it's almost like he was so upset that he was not allowed to coach the playoffs.
Yes.
And I think that that's where some of the needling and the stuff like that has come from. But I just feel like, you know, with the racial history in the South, I mean, not just in, you know, Mississippi, but in the entirety of the South, I just feel like bringing that up was kind of low-hanging fruit that just wasn't even relevant and isn't even relevant anymore. But I would like to know how he responded to that, if, you know, parents really did say that. But I completely agree with you. He's quirky and he's all these things, but, you know, nevertheless, those words, I think, hurt a lot of people.
Yeah, I know it hurt a lot of the fans. I've talked to a lot of them, of course. And again, Jay Hamm, who's in here, his sister, when she graduated from Ole Miss Law, he just came back. And when, like I said, that was a long, long time ago. It was a different college back then. A totally different college. But I hate to say this. Thank God, probably, you know, ever since they, like, shot JFK and sadly killed Martin Luther King here and, like, all that terrible stuff. It was a slow roll forward. But, man.
Right.
Once, like, 2000s got here, it just feels like the momentum had picked up so much and so many people had. You know, the older style, you know, children who grew up in a different era were having their children. It just, you know what I mean? Like my daughter and all of her friends, and I was talking to them all Friday night. They all wild. They all fun. They all ball players and cheerleaders and athletes. And they all just have a damn good time. And
right.
The only thing that annoys me, they don't know how to have a good time. I mean, they are on their phones and taking TikToks and videos and so soft. They're like, okay, man, now that the parents have gone to bed, let's break out the, the good stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm glad the parents have gone to bed. What do we got? And
what little do we
guy
got?
Pulled out Fireball, and I was like, bro, the drink I'm drinking stronger than that.
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, so it's just not, it doesn't sound like it's an issue that Savannah or your other, you know, has had to come to talk to you and say, Dad, this place is this or this place. I feel like they've worked so hard, like you say, since the 2000s. Yeah, I mean, that past is never going to go away. I mean, it is a fact. It happened. But I really feel like so many people are working hard to move forward.
And last but not least, because I really do hate doing this. Like, Lane, bro, if anybody has a little bit of a past, I look at Ulysses Bentley.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
Say
there's
to
a
myself,
lot of people. Yes.
And if you know what I'm talking about, you know.
Oh, you know I know exactly what you're talking about. And in fact, I will tell you this, sir. I have heard from a number of people that have said, if Ulysses Bentley doesn't do the Are You Ready on September 19th when LSU comes to Oxford,
oh,
what are we even doing?
You what
are we
what?
Even
you
doing?
You just put it in the ether. It's out there in the world. We're doing this. That is that is a great idea.
Like, are we even trying if we don't have
if you're going to be petty, let's go even. We can be just as petty. And plus, this is going to make for one of the wildest. And the kick times have been announced. You saw that, didn't you?
Yes.
6:30, baby. Nighttime in Oxford.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be just crazy. And I hope you and I are there.
We will be.
I hope to see you there. And I just, you know, again, the comments. And then, you know, I felt like, not to, you know, honestly, I felt Lane was probably annoyed at Sark for coming out the next day and taking attention away from him and his comments. Because, you know, in my mind, that was a little ridiculous. You can't, you know, belittle people's degree, and you certainly do not take, all you have to do is take basket weaving to get a degree at Ole Miss. And that was absolutely uncalled for. So, and somebody said, well, maybe he was joking. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're trying to impugn the education of kids who are working really hard. We had an article out the other day. I put one out on just my thoughts on Kiffin and Sark, and I put a link in there where people can go and see the actual degrees that the athletes at the University of Mississippi, of which the cheerleaders are absolutely included in that list.
Cum laude. Cum laude.
You can send, worked hard for it and was not taking basket weaving. So definitely, you know, you can see their degrees and the programs that they're in, and there was no basket weaving degree.
Damn, and I'm so depressed, by the way. My daughter, like, her surprised me. She has a job already.
I thought she was going to work for you. What's
oh, trust
going
me.
On?
I almost cried.
Where's she going to be?
Her and Reese is moving back there to Oxford, and they're going to live in Oxford, and she's going to be a pharmaceutical sales rep.
They
got her
fantastic.
A car, gave her a gas card, and starting her at 71 with bonuses.
You know what? And those jobs are tough to get. Like, you have to know. Mm-hmm. They put the pharmacy reps through.
Hell, she has seven interviews.
Yeah, rigorous.
I was like, seven?
And you have to
was the guy
know.
Just literally thinking you're that cute and trying to get your number and figured
no,
out he couldn't do
they
it?
Are, it
and then just hired your ass?
It's incredibly competitive. You have to know, I mean, down to the chemical compounds, I think, of different
drugs. Yeah, all the stuff that
drugs.
She's been studying
so
and
she's
studying
a
and
very
studying.
Smart. Yeah, she's a very, that's impressive. Well, congratulations.
Well, I'm very, very proud of her. But it just, I was really excited about her working for me, but.
I know. Well,
I'm
going to
steal one of her friends. It is what
okay.
it is.
Okay. There you go. That's good. That's a good plan.
Now, I wanted to, like, because we were talking about, you know, Oxford, all the whole like situation with Lane. And then just one other thing that I did want to ask, because this is something that I talked with a good buddy of mine, Chris Walls down there, who's a he's the optometrist down in Oxford. I got like three places. Check out Chris Walls. He'll make your eyes so Gucci. But I was talking to him. He's been a season ticket holder and Ole Miss fan his whole damn life. He loved Lane. Love, love, love. When he left, he was like, I understand. LSU, I'm not stupid, is a bigger and better job. Look at the stadium. You know what I mean? Look at their athletic budget, which is insane what they're spending right now. Like, we can't mad. We can't be mad as adults for a man taking $13 million to go to another place.
No.
But we can be mad at him now golden showering all the people that live in Oxford.
Yeah, I agree. And, again, you go and you look, and you probably saw him all over again, the clips where he talked about Oxford and how meaningful it was.
Yes,
and how
his family.
He saw it through the
God,
eyes of how it helped
there.
His Yeah, how it helped, his family and losing both his parents. And I just, I don't know. I don't know what you do with that, because surely he had to understand that making those comments would be hurtful. And I think, it's like I put out in my article, though, if Ole Miss is middle of the road and has no, isn't a big prospect to do well this coming season, instead of the potential, playoff national championship contender with maybe two Heisman Trophy candidates, then I don't know that any of this happens. I think Lane knew what he was doing. I think it was calculated. This is official visit time, summer camp time. Uh-huh. A lot of commits out there. Same with Sark. A lot of commits.
Do you think that Chambliss wouldn't eventually, if they leave Lane, don't you think, like Trinidad in Baton Rouge?
Do I think what?
Don't you think, honestly, if Lane stayed on and they just allowed him to do whatever the hell he wanted and was all up in that facility, you don't think that Kewon Lacy and Trinidad are probably down in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, it's just really hard to know.
Would we love Pete Golding and know anything about him? No. Again, it was the smart.
Right.
It was the smart decision. I mean,
it was
just
because
be
you're right. If Lane coaches in the playoffs and has over a month longer in the facility, in the building with the players, I don't know. I mean, now in terms of Kewon, I think it absolutely could have been a possibility, although it's funny that he talks about at Meet the Rebels Day, he talked about he had offers and he had offers that were more. Now, he wasn't in the portal, Dabo Swinney, he obviously was being tampered with.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then with Trinidad, I just like it that at the end of the day, Trinidad was loyal, just bought a property and a house in Oxford. Trinidad did.
That's
just
awesome.
Closed on it, I think, last week. But, and Trinidad talked about the loyalty and how the people in Oxford had embraced him and treated him. So there's such a juxtaposition there of the message that he's putting out versus that message from Lane.
I mean, Austin Simmons, it was hard for him to go to Missouri, even though he knew he had to, because he said how much, how he grew up basically from a 17-year-old kid into a young man.
Right. And, again, it's like you said, he left for his professional career.
Mm-hmm.
He did not leave because he was fearful of being in Oxford, Mississippi. And, what does that mean? Does that mean that the players who are there, that their grandmothers, weren't scared? I mean, I don't know. Whole thing was
just
so weird. Yeah. And I just think that I don't think it was. An accident. Some people, Lane just says things. I really think it's timing. And like I say, Ole Miss is in it right now with Pete's doing a great job with recruiting. And Ole Miss is in it with LSU and with Texas and Alabama for a number of top recruits. And if Ole Miss was a nobody, I don't think this would be happening. But because it's happening, I think it's because, there's a lot of folks who understand Ole Miss could make a run in the playoffs next season.
They could. And the thing is LSU and Ole Miss might play twice because, damn it, LSU, the amount of money they're spending and the peeps they're bringing in is insane.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what are we thinking now? You know, I'm hearing now, I mean, 40 to 45 million for the roster might even be conservative. I mean, like, literally, it could be upwards of 50. And Lane referred to the money in that article as quote unquote adult money, you know, whatever that means. But yeah, I mean, but I just still find it interesting that Pete, look at the players Pete got in the portal and look at how highly ranked that class was. And I'm seeing, I don't know if you notice it, but it's like more and more when you see these recruits are putting, the, you know, like the 2027 recruits are putting their top four schools or top, Ole Miss is in it for so many four-star and even five-star kids than I recall in the past. So that's going to be interesting to watch.
And the weird thing is you got to thank Lane Kiffin, honestly, for that, even as agitated you are with the comments. He did take the university to another level. Keith Carter, the Grove Collective, all of that, everybody came together and helped. But, man, Lane was, you know, the head ball coach and brought in the players.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, nobody can deny that Ole Miss is not in the position it's in remotely if they didn't have Lane Kiffin. I do think it was interesting that Walker Jones, the executive director of the Grove Collective, commented, you know, right after all this came out, that in all his dealings with Lane, conversations with Lane in all our times of covering Lane, but in his conversations that were frequently about recruiting and getting players to campus, that not one time did Lane ever bring up, well, you know, we've got this one problem here, and you know, about racial issues, and he said it literally never came up one time. So I think it's, you know, when you're in the game now, as Ole Miss is, you know, people are going to be gunning for you and looking for any kind of advantage they can get.
All right, now I got to ask you, because we have literally 45 seconds and I feel terrible because I haven't gotten there. Judd broke a big bad record, and there's a big series this weekend.
Big, yes. Judd Utermark, career home run leader, hit his 49th career home run as Ole Miss was dismantling UT Martin in a run rule game. Now they travel to Alabama, and Alabama is going to be tough in Tuscaloosa. But you know what? I think the Rebels got it in them, you know, and it looks to me, when there's so much on the line, if they can win two of the three games of the series, then they're, I think, like a lot of people, I think they would look at hosting regional baseball at Swayze.
Man, that would be awesome. I would be excited. I will be down there. Got a question, though. Did you ever see this many home runs from Judd? Like when he first came?
No, I don't know that I did. And, you know, it's funny. He had some really sweet comments in post-game interview after he hit his 49th home run. And, you know, one of the things he said was, I'm just so blessed that Oxford welcomed me with open arms. And I thought that was a really, really sweet thing to say. But, you know, he talked about kind of his changes, you know, in his physical changes and stuff that
I
over
mean,
the years from when he first
biggest,
got there.
He's the biggest, damn tallest second baseman and third baseman. And out. I mean, he's 6'5", isn't he?
Yes. I think like 6'5", 240.
And went from what, 22 home runs last season to 49 right now?
Yeah. I mean, just he's jumped in all the main categories he talked about. He physically grew, gained some weight. And then he talked about, you know, Coach Clement helping him
get that hole out of his swing. Yep.
And yeah. So, but then it was funny. He said, you know, his first two seasons, he said, I had two seasons under my belt of inconsistent play, which was nobody's fault but mine. I just wasn't performing. And, you know, so you kind of like to hear a guy and watch a guy, you know, do such things like that. And I'm telling you, I'm not so sure that with one more year, our catcher Austin Folley doesn't break this record next year. So keep an eye out for that. He's on pace with what he's doing, that with another year at Ole Miss, he could potentially come close. So that's something to watch.
Do me a favor. Tell everybody what's coming down the pipe, Evie.
Well, we have got all the coverage. The Alabama series starts tonight, so it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I got about six Roll Tides on the text message. and about 15 hotty
toddies. It's big. Yeah, it's a big, big, big one. And then they'll go straight on to Hoover from there. So we have we'll have people in both locations. So we'll be bringing all the coverage of that. And of course, we'll be keeping our finger on the pulse of what's going on and what's being said about Ole Miss football.
Well, Evie, you be blessed. I'm going to send you a couple clips of something I've been working on. I think that you'll actually like. So be looking for that today. And if I don't, if I do have my ADHD kick in and I forget, it will eventually get there.
Okay, I'll remind you.
Thank you, Evie. Okay. Have a blessed one.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
That's the wonderful Evie Van Pelt, The Rebel Walk. I'm late as can be for a break. Jared, don't beat me. We're back in two shakes. I got wood for you. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
But you got to be willing to take the hit and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. It is a beautiful Thursday, and if you want a great Friday, come join me at Banger's Pickleball. Let's bang tomorrow. It is awesome. You're like, pickleball, John? I don't know what pickleball is. Where you been? But don't you worry. I came late to the party. I just started playing, what, two years ago?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Now I'm buck wild. I got my own pickleball court in my backyard, but guess what? It ain't like Banger's Pickleball, bro. It is like pro style. It is so nice. They have indoor courts, outdoor courts. They have, you won't even believe this, three bars and a restaurant with great food. And if you're not into it and your partner wants to go play and you want to go up there and hang out, they have whiskey and wine tastings. They have Mahjong. They have trivia. They have all kinds of things going on at 6787 Snowden Lane in South Haven, Mississippi. Please dink responsibly and make sure when you dink, or when you drink, make sure it's Tito's handmade vodka. You know what I'm saying? Best spirit in the whole wide world. I think after I play a little pickleball, after my show, I'm going to do a little pickleball action. You know what I mean? I'm going to have a lot of fun. I'm telling you, man, please come see me tomorrow. It's fun.
Indoor, outdoor bar.
They have an outdoor bar. They have two indoor bars.
Which one will you be at?
I'm going to be, if it's beautiful tomorrow, I'm going to be playing outside. You know, I like getting
sun. All three of them.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I will hit all three of them. It's Friday, dude. And I will have Tito's at every single one of them. And trust me, they got the Tito's. Let's go to Hardinwood.
This is Access Hardinwood.
All right, so I was saying a little earlier in the program about, you know,
25 and under, a bunch of dummies.
Yeah, and it's kind of rude. It's not really 25 and under. I guess we can blame it on Elon Musk, maybe, or whoever's smart enough for the transition that we're going through. Because I saw this yesterday. I don't know who Les Wexler is. Les Friedman, I'm sorry. I know Les Wexler. Les Friedman is, but he did a podcast with Elon Musk. And Elon Musk says this, and I'm just going to read what he says because I don't know if this scares you, but it scares the hell out of me. He said, and again, remember, this is a guy that they say that by 2030 could be a trillionaire. Not a billionaire. A bleeping trillionaire. He said, after 2027, there's going to be no way back. Then the Lex Friedman guy goes, he basically is like, why? He literally sits in the interview silent. And by the way, it's the most uncomfortable silence. It's a whole damn minute. Like, right. He sits a minute and then like fast forward up to like about 10 seconds. But if you watch it, you'll see like for a solid minute. And I guess I got to give him credit because he was really thinking. You know what I mean? So like he came out with what he thinks. And after what he said, and again, he said, after 2027, there's no way back. So after he sits there for over a minute, he says, it's not a catastrophe. It's not like going to be a big bang. He says, what we're having is a transition. The transcripts left behind three themes. And basically, he's saying that gives away what's going to happen in the future. He says, autonomous intelligence, loss of meaning, and energy dependence. It all sounds like a forecast, but it reads like a diagnosis of the era that we are entering. The first sign is the collapse of attention. Musk said humanity will stop thinking in cycles. Planning for the future will shrink to the horizon of updates. People will stop building and start simply replacing. MIT research confirms people, the entire generation born from 2000 on, after 2000, holds an attention span of about 8 seconds, that of a goldfish.
Yes.
I think he's generous with the 8.
Yep. I am too.
Because I had my fingers up over here on this side like 2 seconds. There's so many people my age and young. I ask, have you seen this movie and that movie? Oh, I don't really watch movies. I don't really watch TV shows. Like, how? You know?
Because they just watch it in something for 8 seconds. Dopamine fix. I ain't gonna lie, I'm getting my dopamine fix. I'm gambling on sports every night. But damn it, I watch the whole damn game.
Watch the game. No.
Exactly.
Like, Lord. Just not clipping it. But after he said we're losing our ability to think, he said the second sign is the fact artificial intelligence is here and no longer obeys. He said it already doesn't obey, which scares the hell out of me. Goes on to say, when a system starts correcting humans, the time of linear logic is over. He says, even now, think about it. Algorithms basically decide who we date, what we buy, and what we think. This isn't a machine uprising. It's a disillusion into convenience. People won't notice the moment when choice becomes an option, and they won't make the right one anyway because they're going to choose always convenience. The third sign, he said, is energy dependence. He says, civilizations can no longer survive even a day without electricity. By 2027, in his view, the balance will shift. Energy will become currency, and the control over it will become power. From that moment on, everything non-autonomous will disappear. This isn't an apocalypse. It's a change of biological form. At the end, he said, a line that didn't make it on air. This is like you have to actually like go and look at the transcripts. He said, technology is stronger than us, and we're not smarter. As long as we do have meaning, though, we are alive. When we lose meaning to live, then we just become code. And I'm like, damn. And then the last thing he says, we must learn to be humans before a system learns to be gods. And I just said, damn. I can't believe that Terminator's coming true, bruh.
Yeah.
Where's that little kid when you need his ass?
John Connor. Our robot is coming true. Our robot is 9 years away from now.
Dude, he said, no, you know, next year he's going to start selling his, by the way, or in that article also, before they got into all this doom and gloom, he was talking about how he's expected to, by the end of 2020, by the end of 2027, he said he thinks his line of robots will be ready to purchase.
Yeah.
And they're going to basically be able to do pretty much everything that a human can do. I'm talking about physically, but they're going to be stronger. Like, he's got their hands working, them spinning knobs, using tools, all kinds of ish. Yeah.
Please, go.
Next thing you know, they're going to have one just to do the two-knuckle shuffle.
Everybody, go watch iRobot and really look at that movie.
If the robot does the two-knuckle shuffle better than you? Wife's going to be married to the robot instead of you. Come home, and what do you think the robot's been doing all day?
Yeah.
Shuffling.
Yep. Yeah, everything from that movie.
Every day I'm shuffling. Every day I'm shuffling.
When they say AI uses water in iRobot, Lake Michigan was depleted. There was no more water in Lake Michigan. That's where they stored the old robots.
Law.
They got the three laws in there that yeah, the main AI that was first created
combated
they started thinking
they
more.
They also changed
their
language where the two, when they put the two together,
right,
and they started talking a different language where we couldn't, and they had to shut them down.
Exactly. You got AI creating cults.
Mm. And you also got algorithms making people crazy as hell out there and hateful as all kid out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing I can say, like, people that get clout today in your generation are usually complete a-holes, ignorant, do the dumbest ish I ever seen in my entire life. And again, I mentioned him because last week, remember when I was telling y'all about Chud the Builder?
Yeah.
And I've never heard of this guy, but what he is a filthy, disgusting human being who walks around saying the most vile, racist stuff in the world in public while he's got a gun on his holster. And he's videotaping and screaming my First Amendment right.
And he also using mace as well out there.
Dude, all kinds of stuff. Well, guess what? Now he's in jail for murder because his dumb ass, and he knew it was going to happen, he shot and killed somebody.
They going to get him.
And he said it was in self-defense, and the police were like, we ain't buying that ish. And he is in prison right now. And Chud, that just proves.
Go to penitentiary, Chud.
Karma is a bitch, bro. And it's coming for your ass in so many ways. You are not going to like prison. Bubba.
They going to like him, though.
Yeah. Bubba going to find you real nice.
Especially after that.
Come on over here with that pretty hair, Bubba.
Especially after that news you shared with us last week.
It's some stuff I can't share about
Chud
on the radio.
After the show. No, the tranny.
Yeah, the
woman with the uh-huh. chick with a man, a
that's
unit.
That's what I was just about to bring
a chick
up.
With a G unit. Do you think she got a, went to the Apex RF over at Bluff City Health and Wellness?
From her story.
But like, goodness gracious. Yeah, so yeah, Chud, maybe he actually will be happy. I don't know. I think he's going to take a beating. Good news, though. Tiger Woods, by the way.
You got to drive?
No. I told him, hire me, bro. I don't even drive, but I will drive for you. Except, and by the way, since Wanda Halliburton's out of office.
Except in Germantown.
Yeah, Germantown, Carville. Yeah, I don't do that. It's just not where I go. Chas will drive if I have to go that way. But you know what I'm doing? Now that we got a different county court clerk, is that right?
You got to go get you some tags.
So I'm going to go get me some tags, bro. And I ain't paying no back-ish. I can promise you that. I'm a Stoney MacGyver. I'm selling the car to myself and then going down and get tags the antique style because it's 25 years old now. Never have to get tags again. Only just now hit 80,000 miles on that junk too. Yup. Antique that junk. How you like me now, Wanda? You know, I took off work one day to go, like, this is why I don't like that woman. I took off work, which I never take off work. I never miss, but I also was kind of, I was like, I'm going to get up, go do this. And I was going to go do some stuff at the school, do some nice things, you know, take care, like have a day to knock out all the ish that I needed to do. You know how early I got there? I'm like, I don't get up early. Y'all know this. I was at 7 o'clock in the morning waiting for that. I got like there an hour early because, you know, the line's always around the door and I just am not really good at standing in a long line for a long time. You know, I can't. I pace. I fidget. I talk to everybody. Everybody. Can't help myself. I'm the best in the grocery store. Chas, if she ever wants me out, she just sends me with a list of 5 things to the grocery store. It'll take me 2 damn hours. Don't even remember what I was talking about because I was thinking about how terrible I was at the damn grocery store.
You're talking about getting your tags and the line at the DMV.
Oh, yeah. And I went there, and guess what? We stood in there, and they never opened. And then it never opened. And they were like, what's going on? And then we, like have our phones, thank goodness. And we looked up, and they closed down 3 branches because she didn't pay the rent. I already took off work. I came to do my job. Plus, the reason I had to take off work is because they usually just mail it to your house. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mine to renew my tags came December. It was supposed to arrive, 60 days before the time? My tags ended in August. It arrived a month later. So when you try to go online and pay and just get them renewed and mailed to it, no, it doesn't let you. So, yeah.
So were you, now that she's not in the position anymore, were you ever
now get I'm not going to be driving around on tags that have been expired for 4 years.
Will you get her name right, though?
What's her name? Oh, it's what is it? Just, I always say Halliburton.
You're right. You related this woman. You made this woman Tyrese's auntie for about the last
What's her
years.
Last name?
Halbert.
Halbert. Well, I mean, it's kind of not like hard not to think about a dude that can lasso a horse.
Quinn Quante. Who knows, you know?
Quinn. Quante.
Gabe Dale. Hey.
Gabe Dale. Whatever. Four letters. Yeah, I'm the worst with names. The funny thing is the people will let me call them the wrong name for usually like a long time. And then that screws me up when they correct me because then I still call them the wrong name for a long time. I'm like, dude, you should have like corrected me on the early, on the up and up. What else was I going to mention? Oh, yeah. Did you hear Charles Barkley?
What are you on this time?
He says, sports are filled with gay players, but we live in a homophobic society. Do you think we live in a homophobic society?
Very much so, and I can understand what Chuck is saying.
You really think so?
That'd be very
I only make fun of tees, bro, because they're liars. Like, don't shave your Adam's apple if you're a dude. If you have a G-unit that will nut.
The man said they liars.
They are liars. That's it. I'm sorry. I'm just not a fan of liars. You straight up lie. Like, no, you a dude. Like, remember what I told you would have my boy Lance, right? Sorry, Lance. Like, he never got, man, you know, Lance was that friend of yours that just didn't get it. You know what I'm saying?
When they rock like that, John, you just let them be your people. And just rock.
He just wasn't, he just wasn't, he didn't have the gift of gab, was not definitely a GQ model, you know.
I want to know how you went from just talking about what Chuck was saying as far as gay.
Oh, because this is about trans. That's what I'm saying is I have no problem with gays. Like, you would be surprised. I have gay friends. No, you're not surprised. I have friends with them. I'm friends with everybody.
I mean, plenty. You know?
Yeah. Now, I make fun of them and joke around sometimes. Be like, don't look at my butt. Do I? Yeah, they do. But do I do like a little Eddie Murphy raw? I do.
Woo, 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 woo.
I will tell you, though, I do get a little bit more agitated when my gay friend beat me in pickleball. I came back and smoked him the next time because I'm like, there ain't no way, bro. Like, you ain't going to, like, get it.
You lost to somebody in pickleball under the mat.
Yeah, I did, but I was playing left-handed the whole match because I thought I was going to smoke his ass. I went right-handed, and then I didn't let him score.
Found out he was like that.
Yeah, because I just thought it was, like, a little more fairy-ish. But again, I didn't know that I didn't know that we were in such a homophobic society. Again, I just thought we talked about trans because I mean, like, you ever been to San Francisco, bro?
Yeah.
They all gay, almost. Like, a lot of them. They everywhere. Everywhere.
Either gay or Asian.
Yeah, they got a lot of Asians on the West Coast.
Shout out to the Joy Luck Club.
Man, I just don't. What does the gay rooster say?
Nah, we ain't going now.
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
We ain't going that way.
But no, I'm dead serious. Like, I didn't know that we were in a society like that. I just thought now everything was going back to racial BS.
It's the world coming full circle on so many different angles.
And the damn thing that's problem is algorithms and social media and the young folks. I blame y'all, man. We did a lot of work. Now look, y'all come screw it all up, Chud the Builder, moron. And y'all watch this guy. The interview that I was speaking at was with Lex Friedman to the texter who just texted in L-E-X.
Who did Chuck say that to? That was on...
Oh, that was on it's on ESPN now, but yeah.
Hell, what are they talking about that precipitated that combo?
Oh, because remember, man, Jason Collins passed away. Okay. Yeah, man. He was the first active gay player in the NBA.
Across four major.
Really, yeah.
Across well, no, four because four I thought Michael leagues. Sam. I mean, he was in the NFL.
He declared before.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did, didn't
Michael
he?
Michael Sam did. Before Michael Sam was even in the SEC, Jason Collins had already.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Claim that.
I saw the clip the other day when he first checked into the game. They was like across four major leagues in America.
Yeah,
he's the first openly gay athlete.
Brain cancer, man.
Brain cancer sucks. All cancer sucks.
I swear.
I mean, that's. I guarantee you one thing. That's one thing everybody universally can agree on, even trannies. Cancer sucks.
Or I could for all living beings, too.
Yeah, rest like animals, Chloe Bear, my little Chloe Bear. Anyway, I hope everybody just... Man, I hope y'all have a wonderful day. And remember, please, please remember this. Tomorrow, I am going to be at Banger's Pickleball. It is one of the coolest places I've ever been. It blew my mind. Like, I was like, wow, why didn't I think of this genius idea? They have a beautiful restaurant. They have three great bars. They have indoor courts, outdoor courts.
The Blazers owner going to be there.
Who?
The Blazers owner. I forgot his name, but he's a pickleball guy. He started pickleball.com.
I hope he does. I hope everybody comes out there and joins me tomorrow. Again, I'm just going to put it in your Waze, put it in your GPS, 6787 Snowden Lane. I'll see y'all tomorrow again, 11 to 1, and then I'll kick y'all's ass between 1 and 3. Make sure y'all do me a big favor. Be nice to everybody. Get out there and make that world a better place. We're going to see y'all on the flip side. Peace.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
Don't!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.